Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kiravu, joined by a Liblog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It is now past the 4th of July. Hope everybody had a happy Independence Day weekend. I know I did. Visited my parents in the north woods of Wisconsin. Had a fun time. I took a nice long bike ride. Very scenic. Played some mini golf, and I can proudly say I beat my niece and nephew. Shot a one under par. So I had a good 4th of July weekend. But let's talk a little football here on the show today. If you want to call in, by all means, the phone number is up there on your screen. It is 347-903-5994. What I want to spend some of the time today discussing is the topic we didn't have a chance to get to last Friday because it was the 4th of July. This past week, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, named to a couple high-profile lists that got a lot of media attention. Mostly because of the outlets they are from, garnering the most attention would be Aaron Rodgers being listed as the number 11 player in the NFL, coming from the NFL Network's top 100 list, their annual top 100 list of 2014. Aaron Rodgers coming in at number 11 overall. And I think a lot of people were scratching their heads a little bit over that one, kind of wondering how Aaron Rodgers could come as low as double digits in a top players list in the NFL. And I would have to agree. Let's look at this objectively for a second and say, you know, he's coming off a season in which he missed a full 7 games, practically 8 in the game he was injured, what had happened on the second series, right? And so Aaron Rodgers, you know, missed a lot of time, and I think, you know, more so than his quality of play, that's what led to his lower ranking, more so above any other factor, I guess. Now, if we're going to, you know, rank them as the most valuable players in the NFL or something like that, or I was just going to create a team, I would be hard-pressed to find another player in the NFL that I would rather want to build a franchise around for immediate success. I suppose you could argue if you're building a team from scratch, maybe you want a younger quarterback just because, you know, he's going to be around longer than Aaron Rodgers or something like that. But if I'm building a team built for success right now that's going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl championship this year, I would pick Aaron Rodgers above any other player, regardless of position, regardless of offense, defense, whatever. Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback, ahead of... there's many good quarterbacks in the NFL, and the difference is, you know, almost negligible. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers just seems to be in the prime of his career and younger than, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. I put those three guys right up at the top as well, and there's nothing wrong with those guys. They're all great. I just think Rodgers is a little younger. He's probably more so in the prime of his career as opposed to those guys who might be past their prime. Not that you can't be good players, you know, once you're past 35 or whatever they are. I realize Drew Brees a little bit younger than Peyton Manning. But, all good players. I would build around Aaron Rodgers if I was building that team. taking a look at the NFL Network's top 100 list, you know, I think, what is it? They release 10 players every week. List comes out every Wednesday evening or something like that. So the final top 10 come out this upcoming week. So we do not even know the top 10 players yet. But, you know, seeing as they do it in descending order, or is it ascending order? Well, you know, they start at 100 and work their way to 1. Because they've already released numbers 100 through 11, it's basically a process of elimination. I mean, the guys who have yet to have been unveiled on the list are, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. It looks like Colin Kaepernick has not yet been revealed. Adrian Peterson, Calvin Johnson. I didn't sit here and go through all 10, but these are the names that jump off the top of my head here, the guys who have not been named to this list yet. And certainly those guys are all very worthy of a top 100 players list as well. Some of the best players in the NFL, and they're all very, very good in their own right. But again, I mean, give me Aaron Rodgers above any of these guys. If I'm building a team to win a championship, if I had to build an expansion team, and I could pick out of any player in the NFL, even though I realize that's not how expansion drafts work either. In this hypothetical world, give me Aaron Rodgers number one. He's the guy who I think you know, if you've got a good player, a good team, you build around the quarterback, the most important position on the field. And that's what you want. You want that rock solid guy right there. And Aaron Rodgers, just, you know, every measurable, every, you know, anything you could want in a quarterback other than, you know, maybe mobility. Aaron Rodgers has it. And Aaron Rodgers has underrated mobility, or at least did at one point as well, especially, you know, talking about 2010, 2011, when he was a, you know, few years younger. Aaron Rodgers was really good at you know, getting out of the pocket, keeping plays alive with his legs. And you know what? He's still pretty good at keeping plays alive just because he can sense pressure and extend plays, even if he's not running for first downs and things like that. You know, he's still... has an escapability about him that is really, really good. And, you know, is one of the things that makes him a really good player. But, I mean, just from arm strength, and maybe he doesn't have the strongest arm in the NFL, but it's right up there in the top five strongest arms in the NFL. His accuracy, more than anything, is impeccable. And just his knowledge of the offense, the ins and outs, and his leadership, and the ability to maximize the talent around him, and his ability to change plays, call plays at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you look at the whole package here, the mental game. Aaron Rodgers has it all, and these are the reasons why I think he is the top quarterback, in fact, the top player in the NFL. And you know, kind of, you know, same story here. The other list that Aaron Rodgers appeared on last week was a list published at ESPN.com, conducted by a poll conducted by writer Mike Sando, great, terrific NFL writer there at ESPN.com, who polled a bunch of high-profile NFL decision makers, more or less. He polled general managers, top executives, head coaches in the NFL. I forget who all he asked. Offensive coordinators, I think, were in there as well. And you know, got an opinion of who the top quarterbacks were in the NFL. Or I think he asked to rank all the NFL's quarterbacks basically 1 to 32, the starting quarterbacks, and then put the players into tiers. And there's a little bit of subjectivity there where one tier ends and another tier begins. But Aaron Rodgers was named as a quote-unquote tier one quarterback in the NFL. And it's the same people who were, you know, I mentioned before as being some of the other top quarterbacks in the NFL. I think there was five tier one quarterbacks overall. And we're talking about, in addition to Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Breeze, and then Andrew Luck, the young one in the group. But take a look at who those five guys are. Those are all your prototypical drop back passing quarterbacks in the NFL. I still think that's the way to go in the NFL. You're going to have more success at the NFL level with a prototypical drop back passer than you are these mobile guys who are, might be athletic as all get out like Colin Kaepernick and are a threat to run. But I still don't think Colin Kaepernick is quite the same caliber passer as these guys. And that's where you have the most success with your drop back kind of quarterbacks. And certainly it doesn't hurt to be athletic, doesn't hurt to be able to have legs and be able to run. But it's more important to be a top passer than it is a top runner at the quarterback position. And Russell Wilson, another young guy who is ascending as a quarterback. And I think he's a drop back quarterback, but still kind of young enough and spry enough that he can use his legs and be successful. Although I don't think Russell Wilson is really fast by any means. He's just young and spry right now and can use his legs to his advantage. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers was maybe circa 2010 or so. I could kind of compare him, you know, in that respect. I realize they're much different quarterbacks. Maybe not much different, but, you know, of course, Russell Wilson, a little bit shorter in stature. Not that Aaron Rodgers is really tall. He's, what, 6'1 or so? Whereas, you know, a guy like Peyton Manning, a little bit taller yet. Anyway, it matters not so much about their height, but, you know, again, about other qualities and ability to pass more than anything. But, it shouldn't come as any surprise that Aaron Rodgers was named as a tier one quarterback in the NFL. It's more so, it shouldn't surprise you about any of these guys who were named tier one, except maybe Andrew Luck, just because he's so young and you might argue that he's maybe not there yet, or he hasn't accomplished as much yet or something like that. You know, it's more the guys further down the list that you're kind of, you know, arguing about where they may fall on the spectrum. I think Philip Rivers was a, you know, second tier quarterback, and it's more an argument about where he fits in than where Aaron Rodgers fits in, something like that. So, no surprise there. But just, again, because of the outlets these are, the NFL Network and ESPN, they get a lot of attention. A lot of people see these things. You know, they read about them online, or they, you know, see them on TV. So it reaches a lot of people and a lot of discussion about it. And those were kind of some of the biggest things last week that happened in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, of course, you know, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, the face of the franchise. More people know him than any other Green Bay Packers player. And, you know, he's just about the most, you know, recognizable player in the entire NFL. I suppose you could make the case about many players, but, Aaron Rodgers, the highest paid player in the NFL, in terms of what way you want to look at how his contract is structured. But, a lot of attention around that. And so no surprises there, really. Just something to note, discuss a little bit. It's not surprising about the ESPN list. Definitely a little bit surprising about the NFL Network list. And I guess I should mention as well, this NFL Network list, by the way, it is apparently, allegedly, voted upon by the NFL players themselves. It's not media members or anything like that. It's the media members doing the polling. But they talk to the NFL players and have them rank them and how they are judged or whatever. And put them onto the list, and you know, that's how they are voted upon, just for, you know, terms of methodology, I guess, in case you were wondering. It's not a fan poll or anything like that, or, you know, it's not the Associated Press or anything like that. Although NFL.com does their own fan poll, and I guess, you know, notable here as well, it just FYI, and I don't know if this means anything, it means very little, but Aaron Rodgers ranked in the fans at NFL.com, the only place this poll took place, at NFL.com, Aaron Rodgers ranked as the number 14 overall player of 2014, even lower than the player poll where he came in at number 11, three places lower. And again, I mean, you're talking fans here who can, you know, just like the Major League Baseball All-Star game that was revealed last night, fans can stuff a ballot box and vote for their favorite players or vote for, you know, just players for their favorite team. So I don't think that means a whole lot, but it's just notable. They publish it online, and you can kind of compare and see where these guys fit. You know, I'm just taking a look at some of the fan votes. Two of the guys who have already appeared on the list, Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks, the Super Bowl reigning Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Well, it should probably come as no surprise that they finished in the top 10 in the fan voting, you know, just because they were Super Bowl champions, as opposed to the actual NFL Network poll that by players, I suppose, is a little bit more informed and doesn't have the ability for ballot box stuffing and things like that, as opposed to the fans that can do those kind of things. But just kind of interesting where Aaron Rodgers ended up. It's been a steep drop for him. After Aaron Rodgers' 2011 season, and that was the season in which he was the league's MVP, and he was voted the number one player in the NFL. At one point, Aaron Rodgers was number one. And then I think last year he dropped down to number six, something like that. This year he's number 11. He's kind of been in decline a little bit here in this list. Can he climb back up from number 11? And I think he can, obviously, easily. And it's just going to take health to do it. It's just going to take him playing an entire season or almost an entire season injury-free, and he will climb back up on the list. I mean, there's no reason Aaron Rodgers shouldn't have a Pro Bowl caliber type of season this year and be one of the top four quarterbacks in the entire NFL, just as long as he's healthy. I really see no reason he can't, even though, you know, there's kind of some change around him in the Packers offense, and it isn't even that big a change. You know, JerMichael Finley's gone, James Jones is gone, Evan Dietrich Smith is gone, but pretty much the, you know, surrounding cast is the same. And, you know, you could argue that, you know, at the wide receiver position, maybe they've even gotten an upgrade over James Jones and Devontae Adams, the rookie. Now, he'll go through his learning curve, and I'm not sure how much he can help immediately right away, but obviously a talented football player and somebody who I think can definitely help down the line, not to mention the rest of the receiving talent the Packers brought in this year, from Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis to the tight end position with Richard Rodgers and Colt Ayerla, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. Aaron Rodgers will make those guys better players. He has the ability to make those young guys good players, and that's part of what makes Aaron Rodgers so good. Elsewhere on the top 100 list, assuming no other Packers players make the top 100 list, and I can't imagine anybody else is, Aaron Rodgers would be the fourth Packers player to make this top 100 list, in addition to Clay Matthews, and I forget these numbers off the top of my head, but Clay Matthews came in somewhere in the 70s, I think it is, as well as Eddie Lacy and Jordy Nelson came in, what, the 80s or 90s, something like that. So those four players, Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, Eddie Lacy, Jordy Nelson, the only four Packers on the top 100 list. And I would say that's probably fairly accurate. The only other player I might, quibble with, I might have an argument with including, would be offensive lineman Josh Sitton. And, I think that's more of a product of, offensive linemen, in particularly interior offensive linemen, not quite getting the respect they deserve just because they play a low-profile position that's not glamorized, even amongst other offensive linemen. Left tackles get huge contracts and get a little bit of attention from that. But offensive guards, interior offensive linemen just don't get a whole lot of attention, even though I think Josh Sitton is right up there with the best interior offensive lineman in the entire NFL. An argument could be made for a guy like Randall Cobb. He, too, is coming off the injury season there. Had it not been for injury, might Randall Cobb be on a top 100 list? Sure. And certainly he's a candidate for next year. When we're sitting here a year from now talking about the 2015 list, he could easily be a guy who appears, and hopefully we're talking about him then as well. But those are the guys who are kind of maybe on the cusp of being in the NFL's top 100. But here we are, just past the 4th of July. What is it, the 7th today? Players are still on this, vacation since the end of mini camp and is yet to be the start of training camp yet. News is slow in the rest of the NFL. There were a couple other, I thought good articles written on the Green Bay Packers recently published. If you want to go check those out, if I could give you some suggested reading for the next day or two, if you haven't seen these articles already, both at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Green Bay Press Gazette, there was an article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on defensive lineman Dayton Jones by reporter Tyler Dunn. I thought was really good. Obviously, Dayton Jones, last year's first-round draft pick, kind of had a underwhelming rookie season. I think people expected more out of Dayton Jones. But again, he suffered that ankle injury on play one of preseason game number one that I think set him back. In fact, he tried to come back, what was it, two preseason games later, ends up kind of aggravating it a little bit, although it, not the type of injury that knocked him out for an entire season. But, there were reasons why Dayton Jones had a slow rookie season, and I do expect much better production from him in year two, assuming good health, of course, which is always, of course, no guarantee. But a good look at Dayton Jones, what he went through his rookie season, how he kind of underwhelmed, how other rookies had a better rookie year than him. But also showing the reasons why there's reasons to be positive and reason to believe why he could break out in year number two, his, so-called sophomore season in the NFL. So that's a good one. If you want to go check that out, there's a good long article there on Dayton Jones. And then over at the Green Bay Press Gazette, an article on safety Sean Richardson and him being kind of the almost exception to the rule, the one player that suffered a back injury to his spinal column and has been cleared by the Packers to return, written by Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Another well-researched, well-written article. It's worth your time to go check it out, go read it. Because I do think he Sean Richardson is in such a unique position there, whereas the Packers have basically ended the careers, more or less in that they, post-injury, they haven't cleared all these other players that have suffered neck injuries. Go over the list of the guys who have had to retire from the NFL, most notably in recent history, safety Nick Collins. But before him, you've guys got guys like Tony Palmer, Terrence Murphy. The list goes on. And then, of course, we've got two guys right now whose status is still kind of up in the air, with Jermichael Finley and Johnny Jolly. Those guys have apparently been cleared by their own personal doctors. But they're both NFL free agents. They haven't signed with any other team. No other team has cleared them. So situation there that you don't really know what's going on with them. But Sean Richardson has been cleared by the Packers and has come back from a rather serious neck injury that took almost an entire year from the time he was injured to the time he played in his next NFL game. I think it was almost, November of 2012 to November of 2013, in which those two, markers occurred. So it's just a unique situation that Sean Richardson has come back from injury, had this, I think they call it spinal fusion surgery. And, by no means was he a Pro Bowl caliber player last year. But considering the injuries, considering the severity, the fact that he came back, was placed on the PUP list, was cleared, was activated to the 53-man roster, and came back and played a role for the Packers, more so on special teams than anything, but also as kind of a rotational defensive back, started to see some increased playing time last year. I think people were getting, including the Packers coaching staff themselves, were getting frustrated with the play of M.D. Jennings, not to mention Jerron McMillan, who they cut. And eventually, Sean Richardson saw some increased playing time down the stretch last year. Sean Richardson by no means was great either. He struggled himself, but I think considering the injury issues, considering his relative youth, he was just in his second year in the NFL last year and missed the entire offseason program and training camp because of the injury. There's, again, reason to believe he could be in store for a much bigger, better role this year and be a much better player, just because he's older, the injury's behind him, he's took part in the entire offseason program this year. Same kind of goes for Chris Banjo as well. These guys might be better in 2014 than they ever have been before. So again, just a reason to be optimistic, and by all means, go read that article, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, whatever method you want to do for going over there. Check that article out. It's a good one. But that'll about do it for today's episode of Railbird Central here at CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks for joining us here on a post-Independence Day edition of Railbird Central. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We'll be back again on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to come back, and we'll talk more Packers football then. But on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, folks. Make sure you check out CheeseheadTV.com for all your news needs all week long. But I leave you today with a song called On the Road by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.